from the Cyber Hub bunker in studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode and our final episode of the week of the Cyber Hub podcast practitioner brief. It's Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. I'm not in my usual setting, neither in my office, nor I had some stuff going on this morning. That's why we're running a few minutes late as well. So I do apologize for not starting the podcast on time, but a lot to talk about today. So I won't waste your time with excuses. We're going to get right to it. Good morning to everyone tuning in. Good morning, family. Good morning, security gang. I hope y'all are ready. Let's get break right into that. But before we do, grab your espresso, your coffee, your smoothie, whatever you're drinking this morning. Enjoy it, sip it, celebrate it, make it yours. Coffee cup cheers. We're going to get right into the Oracle Cloud Infrastructure with a significant vulnerability that exposed sensitive data. WSD published information on the Oracle Cloud Infrastructure vulnerability that allows attacker to modify user storage volumes without authorization. It's referred to as Attach Me, and it was mentioned in the Oracle July 2022 Critical Path Update. The vulnerability could have exposed sensitive data to attackers knowing the victim's Oracle Cloud Identifier, or OCID. The OCI customers could have been targeted by an attacker with knowledge of Attach Me, any unattached storage volume, or attached storage volumes allowing multi-attachment could have been read from or written to as long as the attacker had the Oracle Cloud Identifier, according to Elad Gabay, the WSD security researchers. Essentially, because of this vulnerability, there was an issue there. Now, this was highlighted. This was also patched. So this is more or less, or Oracle has addressed this and have tanked WSD for their vulnerabilities. But if you're on Oracle Cloud, something definitely to be looking at. An unpatched 15-year-old Python bugs allows code execution in 350,000 projects. Family, Python is a lot of the basic stuff that we use in security. A lot of security was written on Python. And so I wonder how many of these open source repositories are actually security related. The bug itself was disclosed in 2007 as CVE-2007-4559. The security issue never received a patch. The only mitigation provided being a documentation update warning developers about the risk itself. So it's gone about 15 years unpatched. Now there's a path traversal bug that allows an attacker to override arbitrary files, essentially allows to give someone a back door. Investigating another security issue, CVE-2007-4559 was rediscovered by a researcher at Trellix, a new business providing XDR from the McAfee FireEye piece there. The flaw stems from the fact that code in the extract function in the Python tar file module explicitly trusts the information in the tar info object and joins the path that it passed to extract the information, to extract the function, sorry, and the name of the tar info object. All of that there as well. So estimated 350,000 projects that are impacted by this. 257 repositories more likely include vulnerable code. So a lot of work for plenty of people in the Python world. Over 39,000 unauthenticated Redis instances have been found to be exposed on the internet. The unknown attacker targeted tens of thousands of unauthenticated Redis servers exposed to the internet in an attempt to install a cryptocurrency miner. Again, with crypto crime, what they're looking for is these types of things, where there's no authentication, where you can get access, where you can go in, where you can write data. Is critical, and it's something that's really significant here. And so I'll do a deep dive on this next week on the whole Redis and Oracle Cloud infrastructure and so forth. I think it's worthy of 5 minutes or 10 minutes next week to just talk about this. The shell script is still accessible. It's engineered to perform a whole slew of actions. But then again, if they're unauthenticated, you can obviously see most of them coming from China, here, the US, France, Germany, Netherlands, and so forth. Morgan Stanley is paying $35 million fine, not for a data breach, but for not wiping data properly off their hard drives and laptops before reselling them. So as IT equipment tends to age, a lot of companies will refresh the equipment. They refresh the equipment every 2-3 years. And so the IT department will get all these old laptops. They typically wipe them and then they resell them. They don't throw them away. You know, in some cases they donate them, in some cases they resell them, in some cases they give them to other third parties to recycle bits and pieces of those laptops. Well, apparently they weren't really wiping the devices really well. There was PII on these devices, and when they were resold at an auction, some of the customer data wasn't wiped or wasn't fully removed. There were no safeguards in place to double check that some of the work has been done. Either way, they got a $35 million fine for that. Kind of makes you want to go and check with your IT team, how are we wiping devices this morning, doesn't it? Finally, we end with Iran. So one of the largest countries when it comes to cyber activity and the greatest state sponsor of terror over the last probably 15 or 16 years has been Iran. So they've been targeting Albania, and we talked about this over the last few weeks. Well, now there's a lot more detail over the Albania attack. Albania 444, for its role as a victim, has cut diplomatic ties with Iran and has actually asked their ambassador and they're pretty much everyone there to leave the country. The joint advisory that came out from CISA and the FBI shared details of the timeline of the activity. According to the two agencies, the attacker had access to an Albanian government network for roughly 14 months before starting the attack, which was a ransomware and a wiper. During the time frame, the attacker periodically accessed compromised email accounts, exfiltrated emails, and conducted credential harvesting, lateral movement, and network reconnaissance. In July of 2022, the adversaries deployed ransomware in a compromised system and left the anti-Mujahideen al-Khalik messages on multiple computer desks. They also deployed a variant of the ZeroClar destructive malware. In addition to the ransomware and wiping malware, the attackers were observed using multiple web shells for persistence, as well as relying on RDP, SMB, and FTP for lateral movement. They connected to IPs associated with the victim's VPN and used Mimikatz for credential dumping. Albania publicly has attributed the attack to Iran. Then subsequently, when they did that in September this month, the guy hit again. So there it is. And for those who don't know, Iran is in the middle of a lot of unrest locally, and that unrest is significant. They're now taking down the outage. Essentially, the Iranian decency police took a young woman who was not properly wearing her hijab, and while she was in custody, she was killed, murdered. And so there's a whole slew of protests in Iran ever since Amini, who also went by her Kurdish name, Jihani, died last Friday in the custody of the Islamic Republic's morality police. Now they're shutting down internet. Anonymous has actually sweared that they're going out there. Also, Elon Musk has offered Starlink over Iran for people in order to have internet access, as the government's getting people off the internet. So all of that is still there, folks. All of that is still there, still happening. The pray for the folks over in Iran this weekend, and definitely understand Iran is our single greatest threat actor. This in our lifetime, there's no greater threat actor than Iran when it comes to cyber and human rights, and China's there as well, but Iran's definitely there. And you're seeing a lot more of Iran over the last month or so in the news. People are covering Iran a whole lot more, which lets you know we're bound for conflict, right? It was the same way with Iraq. It was the same way everywhere. There's a playbook that governments follow in order to launch a conflict. And putting that company and highlighting everything evil that it does is one of those. So just keep that in mind. We're being fed information to make us that not, it's not that Iran isn't a bad country. They've got bad leadership with great people, right? Very corrupt leadership with brave people, and we should be able to help those people out any way we can. That's it for our show today. We won't have a show Monday and Tuesday. It's Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. I'll be off taking some time to spend it with my family. I'll be back Wednesday with a whole slew more, with a whole lot more, and we'll do a deep dive on all this cloud security issues we talked about today. That's it for the show. Have a great weekend. Have a great beginning of the week, because I won't see y'all then. I'll be reposting some old CISO Talk episodes on our podcast application. So make sure you go to Apple, Google. If you haven't subscribed, go there. You'll find it there. Till then, great rest of your day. Great weekend. Shana Tova. Thank you all. And stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.